Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Bergen County. This is John Insulin, a reporter for The Record. I cover Bergen County government and politics for the paper, and I'm here to welcome you to another edition on this beautiful summer morning, September 1, first day of September, unbelievably already, to another edition of Record Talk Radio. This has been an ongoing series of conversations we've had over the last nearly 4 years now with newsmakers and journalists from throughout northern New Jersey. And today we have a special episode. We're going to have the Republican candidates for assembly in Legislative District 38. The district is kind of an interesting place. It's a central Bergen district, and for years it's been a bellwether district as well. It's gone back and forth between Democrats and Republicans. Towns like Bergenfield, Fairlawn, Glen Rock, Paramus, and of course one town from Passaic County, Hawthorne. Last year was so competitive that a lot of money was spent there, and the race, as I recall, not last year but 2 years ago, went down to a recall election. It was decided by a rather small number of votes in one of the assembly seats, the one held by Tim Eustis. We had the Democrats on yesterday, and today I want to introduce you to Anthony Coppola and Mark DePisa, who are our guests. They are the Republican candidates for this assembly seat. I should mention, too, this is kind of an unusual year in that it's not often that assembly candidates top the ballot, but that will be the case this year. Anthony Coppola is a councilman in River Edge, where he's served for about 3.5 years now. He is a small business owner with a firm called Triple Platinum Entertainment, which provides videographers, photographers, and DJs for weddings and other events. He has 22 years of experience as a small business owner. He's volunteered in various capacities as a tennis and wrestling coach and a Bible studies leader. He's also been a teacher, having taught in, say, Paramus Catholic High School, for example, and Our Lady of Grace in Fairview. Mark DePisa is born and raised in Hasbrook Heights, and he lives now in Lodi. He is a lawyer, and he has a firm called DePisa and Lago that he started with his wife. He also serves as a commissioner for the Housing Authority of Bergen County and as a trustee for the community school, which provides education for children with learning disabilities. He volunteers with the Lions Club of Hasbrook Heights, as well as the St. Joseph Society of Lodi, which I believe has its festival coming up this weekend.
Correct.
Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us, John.
Yep. Thanks, John. Okay. Thanks for having us.
I wanted to start you both out with a kind of a biographical question. I'm always interested in what gets people started in politics in the first place. Anthony, if you could tell us first, and just be brief, if you will, how did you get involved in politics?
Sure. Well, you know, growing up early on, I've always been involved in my town and my community by way of also my parents volunteering. And for me, it's simply just my philosophy is the greatest good you can do is to be of service to others. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a Hallmark card or cliche, but that's what I firmly believe. And that's what got me involved in being a public service, not only through government, but also through my community volunteering, as you alluded to before. So that's what got me right here, right now on the phone with you.
All right. And Mark, how about you? What got you involved?
So from a young age, my father had started to serve the wonderful residents of Hasbrook Heights as a local pharmacist and got involved as a local councilman and was elected a local councilman for approximately 20 years now. So my parents always instilled in me the ability to give back, get involved in public service, you know, to not sit on the sideline but get in the game. And I've always been taught that from a young age. So I had a wonderful role model in my father to look after, and that's part of the reason that I've jumped into the game.
All right. We're joined today on the program by my colleague, Dustin Rasiopi. Dustin, welcome back to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Dustin covers the legislature for the Record, has since last year, previously worked for the Asbury Park Press. Dustin, I'll have you take the next question.
All right, thanks. Hey, guys. I'm here in Trenton, and, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, divide in the legislature and also between the Democrats who control the legislature and the executive branch is how to fund the public employee pension fund. Democrats, you know, they had proposed a so-called millionaire's tax to make the full contribution, which the governor had reduced by about $1.3 billion in the last year's budget. And Republicans say, well, the money's just not there. We're doing the best that we can, but we need to get more concessions from the public employees. So where do each of you stand on this? Do you think that there's another alternative? Do you side with the governor's proposal to get more concessions out of the public employees? And is there some way that the Republicans, if you're elected into the legislature, if there's some way for the Republicans and the Democrats who control it to work together to come to a conclusion to this?
Well, I'll touch on that first. You know, Dustin, the creating new taxes or raising taxes, if that were the solution, then we wouldn't be in the problem we're in, because that's been going on now for quite some time. I think it's, you know, we have to live within our means, quite simply. We know this as people who manage our homes. I know this as a business owner. So, you know, at the same time, we have to keep to our promises. So those are things that, you know, and I always tell people, you know, in New Jersey, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. It comes down to discipline. It comes down to living within your means. So that's the foundation, the core with which I see the whole situation as it pertains to, you know, the spending and the deficits that we run in the state. So that's, you know, my take on that. I don't know if Mark wants to, you know, chime in.
Yeah, Dustin, just to capitalize on, you know, the interesting thing about this problem is that both parties contributed to the problem, and both parties need to come to the table and be part of the solution. There needs to be a bipartisan coalition. We need to bring the union to the table, find out what's really going on, and come up with some real hardcore long-term solutions to this problem, not a quick fix. I mean, if you look in the history, I think in 2004, the millionaire's tax experiment actually failed. I think it cost the state economy something like $5.5 billion. There's never enough you know, research or looking into the past, what has worked, what hasn't worked. It has always been, let's raise taxes, let's raise taxes, let's raise taxes. I mean, to a large extent, the taxpayers of our state have become like ATM machines, and Trenton has become a black hole. You know, it's obvious for the past 15 years, taxes have been raised somewhere about 115 times. It's not working. If it was working, we wouldn't be in the current state of affairs that we're in. So I think we need to look to other avenues. It's got to be a bipartisan effort. We're going to do everything we can in order to attack the problem. Another interesting aspect is there's not enough talk about stopping the bleeding. You know, we need to address the new generation of state employees that are going to enter the workforce and say, you know, we just can't afford to do this anymore. We can't afford to give this type of a pension. So we need to tell them from day one, this is what your future is going to look like, you know, and decide whether you still want to enter this field or not, instead of coming at them later and trying to change the deal. They need to know what the deal is from day one, and that'll stop the bleeding, and now we can start to look into fixing the problem on a long-term basis. So that's what me and Anthony are committed to.
Okay, thanks.
Gentlemen, another big issue in the legislature is the State Transportation Trust Fund, which I think everybody's pretty much agreed is nearly depleted. There have been some who've suggested that, especially with gasoline being rather low right now, that this would be an opportune time to use a gasoline tax to replenish that fund. If I'm hearing you right, it sounds like you're both probably opposed to that, given your position on new taxes. But I'm wondering, what's your alternative? What alternative would you put forward to replenish this fund, assuming you want to do that, to fix our, you know, aging bridges and infrastructure?
John, yeah, just to answer the question, we are absolutely against the gas tax for the reasons that we've already stated. You know, another interesting aspect of this, sometimes I wonder where the people in Trenton come up with these things. If you think about it, and studies have shown, we're spending less time at the pump. Cars are more efficient. So whatever increase in the gas tax that we impose, it's going to be a Band-Aid. It's not going to fix the long-term problem. we are going to wind up in the same position over and over again. That is why we're against the gas tax. We need to look at our budget and work the budget as hard as we can to prioritize where the Transportation Trust Fund falls in terms of priorities. It's got to move to the top. It's going to be at zero. We need to make sure that funds are allocated to it before just raising taxes at the first sign again. It's something that we really need to look into and find out where the money is, you know, where this falls in terms of our list of priorities, and make sure it gets moved to the top, because it is a pending issue that we need to address.
And yeah, to add to that, John, I mean, that would, stifle economic growth, too. Another tax, I mean, here we go. The patient has a brain tumor, but let's keep giving Advil. We have to, again, address the core of our problems, and raising the tax. If it were so easy, again, we wouldn't be in the problem we're in. And, you know, when we take care of and address the TIF, there needs to be a lockbox type of policy where, you know, when we put that money aside, you don't touch it. But that's not been the case in the past.
Well, Mark, just to follow up on that, though, I mean, I get it that you're both opposed to any tax on that, but where do you get the money to replenish this fund?
Well, I don't think we're working the budget enough. Like I said, I mean, if you look in the history, at one point, I think our pension was funded at 101%. Now we're down to 60%. There's always room. It's just whether or not you want to make the tough decisions in order to get there. I do not believe that our current legislature, our elected officials, work the budget enough. I don't believe the Transportation Trust Fund is in the positions it needs to be in terms of priorities. So you move it up, you find out where we're spending, where we're overspending, where we don't need to spend, and you make sure that the money is allocated to the trust fund. You know, it's easy to say, let's just raise taxes and make sure these taxes get to the places that they need to be. Well, history shows that that's not the case. If raising taxes solved all our problems, we would not be in the position we're in. So instead of business as usual, it's time for a change. It's time for something new. I don't believe the budget is being worked enough the way it needs to be. I don't believe we're prioritizing the way we need to be. I have to do it in my household and my business every day. There's always room. We can't address things by raising taxes every single time, because the ATM machines, our residents being treated like ATM machines, they're going to run out and people are going to want to leave, and we can't allow it to happen.
It sounds like you guys are staunchly opposed to raising taxes. Where do you stand on lowering taxes, property taxes? That's something that, you know, the governor came into office, 5 years ago with gusto on this, and other priorities seem to have emerged. The two that we just touched on, the Transportation Trust Fund and the Public Employee Pension Fund. So where does property tax relief rank with you two, and what plan do you have, if any, to bring some new solutions to that to give taxpayers some relief?
Sure, John. I think it starts off with the school funding formula. We are sending approximately 60% out of our district to other districts, and, you know, we need to have our fair share. And, again, you know, if money... sending money out were the issue to these other districts. Case in point, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg gave $100 million to the Newark school systems. Again, if it was a money thing, there should be no issue down there. So, you know, it's not an issue, that pertains to the school funding. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here touching on school funding, but that is, to answer your question, how we would relieve the tax burden on people up here is by the school funding, because that is a large portion of our budget that we deal with as it pertains, again, to helping the taxpayer and helping to alleviate some of that weight that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, just to capitalize on that really quick, guys, you know, right now, so about 62% of our residents in District 38, 60% of the property taxes going towards funding our schools that are underfunded because the school funding formula is broke. The current elected officials want to continue to use this school funding formula that sends all of the money outside of our district to other schools, which is why our residents, resolving the problem is being put on the backs of our residents to fund our schools, which are underfunded. We need a fair share school funding formula so all schools, including schools in our district, get their fair share of funding from the state, and we can lower our residents' property taxes. I mean, 62% of property taxes going towards funding schools when in other districts they're getting funded at 60%, 70% more. It's unacceptable. And the bottom line is the current legislature and our current elected officials have failed to fix this problem. and it is a problem that directly affects the residents of District 38, and it's a problem that will provide immediate relief in terms of property taxes for the residents of District 38 if we fix it. So me, Anthony, for fixing school funding.
Right. I mean, you know, and exactly, Mark, you know, 56% of the money goes to 5% of schools. I mean, there's something inherently wrong about this paradigm, about this structure, and it needs to be addressed. And, you know, it needs leadership. It needs discipline. And Mark and I, you know, I believe we have that.
Your Democratic opponents sort of struck the same chord yesterday, touching on the school funding formula. So is there anything specific about what you would do that would be different from them? Are you familiar with what they're proposing?
Well, my understanding is their proposal is to continue to fund the funding formula as is and just try to bring more money to it, which, again, is going to drain our resources, put on the backs of the burdens of our taxpayers by raising taxes. That's not what you do. You fix the formula that's broke. You fix it before you dump any more money into it and take it out of the pockets of our residents. And the way you do it is you do it by way of a constitutional amendment to take the decision out of the hands of where it currently sits and put it back in the hands of the legislature to make sure that we fix the formula, equalize it so everybody gets the same. Me and Anthony will be two votes for fixing the formula and making sure that all districts get equal funding for their schools, which specifically directly will affect our residents in District 38. Fix the formula. Don't just fund something that's broke. I mean, that's really the caveat. That's what's been going on. We continually dump money into the black hole that's Trenton and rob our taxpayers of their money. And it would be fine if that was working. But I think history has shown in the past 15 years of all taxes have been raised. Look where we are. You know, the residents of District 38 are entitled to a change. They're entitled to something different, and me and Anthony want to give them that.
All right. Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is Record Talk Radio, and you're listening to a conversation today with the two Republican candidates for Assembly in District 38, Anthony Coppola and Mark DePisa. Gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you about casino gambling, which has been in the headlines of late. Several Bergen County leaders rallied in anticipation, I believe, that the legislature would put the issue to the voters by having a referendum on whether gambling should go beyond Atlantic City, and secondly, to attract perhaps casino gambling to Bergen County, to the Meadowlands. I'm wondering what your position is on A, the notion of putting it to a referendum, and B, the idea of bringing gambling to the Meadowlands. And Mark, let's start with you this time.
Yeah, terrific. I think that, look, me and Anthony are both in favor of any changes that can bring more job growth, bring some life into our economy, keep our gamblers here, and keep New Jersey money in our state. 100% we're in favor of something like that. However, we also feel that all of the municipalities that could be directly affected by this project get a seat at the table. We need to hear from our residents. We need to know what they think. We'd be in favor of a referendum to find out exactly what they think. I mean, we try to proceed with the understanding that me and Anthony are representatives of the people. We are the voice of the people. We need to know how they feel on this issue. So while we're in favor of job growth and everything that we feel, all the benefits that may come from a project like this, we need to hear from our residents and make sure that they're on the same page before we make any decisions.
Yep, and you know, to add to that, John, I mean, New Jersey first. You know, there's people going to the Poconos or to Yonkers. You know, we're taking care of our own first. And yeah, these are jobs. I mean, jobs are good, and that's what we want. We want here, and it's really a win-win for our state, you know, and our district.
Okay. This is Dustin and Trenton. You know, switching gears a little bit takes some of the focus away from money exclusively. You know, another big issue, especially in North Jersey, is heroin and opiate abuse. It's a problem that has sort of bubbled under the surface for a long time, and it sort of exploded into view in the last couple of years. A lot of young people dying, a lot of people becoming addicted, usually on painkillers, and then it escalates to heroin, which is cheaper and much more dangerous. There's been a number of initiatives in the legislature and signed by the governor that are intended to help that problem. But there's certainly a long way to go. Treatment options are a huge barrier. And was just wondering, you know, where does this rank to you guys? And what plans do you have, if any, to try to address this problem? Because it's a long-term one. It's not one that you can slap a solution on and it goes away. It's really an ingrained issue. And you can't just lock people up and warehouse them in jails. There needs to be treatment options. So I just wanted to see where you stand on that and what you might do if you're in the legislature to help that.
Sure. You know, Dustin, it's an epidemic for sure. And, you know, quite simply, I mean, dealers go to jail and users go to therapy. And, you know, I've had personal experiences with this as a teacher and a coach and an employer. You know, one quick story is a colleague, a friend of mine many years ago, was doing work for me in my house and didn't come to finish the job. And it turns out, you know, he had called me and told me he was in Hackensack Hospital and that he's an addict, he's addicted, and he was brave to confess that to me. And you know, instead of me, I was very angry at him because at first he didn't complete the job I hired him for. But, you know, long story short, I asked him, you know, if I get him a number to go to NA or AA, would he go? And he wouldn't. And I said, well, you know, if I go with you, would you go? And I really feel like I turned, and we, him and I, turned a bad situation into hope and into recovery as I went with him for weeks to AA. And he's doing great today, as I've seen him. And, you know, that's where I come from. You know, it's, again, it's a health problem as it pertains to users. And we need to stop, right, like you alluded to. Jail is not the answer to every single problem. There's a time and a place to put people in jail, but not users. They need therapy. They need help. They need their family and their loved ones. And I think we're slowly getting to that point. And by doing that, you keep families intact, you keep, you know, businesses and jobs intact, and that has a very wide spider web. It's not only are you, again, you know, treating it as therapy, but it does a lot of good down the line and a domino effect. So, and again, dealers, throw the book at them. But users, we have to have compassion. These are our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our employers, our employees. So that's my opinion on that, Dustin.
Okay.
Mark.
Yeah, you know, I echo everything Anthony said. Health of our residents has to come first. I mean, I've also had personal experiences. Unfortunately, this problem tears families apart. If we don't have our health, we don't have anything else. So health needs to come first. We need to make sure that the services are there for people that need them. We need to make sure that people are comfortable enough to ask for the services. And we need to put the dealers away. And we need to put them away and deal with them harshly.
Does the state have a responsibility to step in and to provide that help, that treatment? Should there be more options in Bergen County for people who are struggling with this?
Yeah, you know, Dustin, absolutely. And actually, as you know, we're incorporating that emergency medicine now that police officers are using, and in the name of the medication flips my mind right now, but you know what I'm getting at is that, you know, that's the right, you know, and years ago it was, you know, oh well, but now it's, you know, we're seeing it as these are people, these are human beings that have a problem, and instead of locking them up, you know, we're gonna treat them. And yes, we have to take care of our like I said, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our people in our state. So we have to find funding, and we have to make this work. This is a life and death, you know, situation here. And
and I think that programs work. I mean, if you look at the drug court in the state of New Jersey, I believe there's a high percentage of people in drug courts that do not get rearrested as they go through the drug court program. There's an increased percentage of people that actually go on to graduate from school. So rehabilitation programs work. So I think we need to make sure that we have those in place for people that need them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just to follow up on that, last week we had the woman who oversees county addiction services on the program, and she was describing what she sees as a deficit of detox beds. In other words, the detoxification unit at Bergen Regional Medical Center is usually full, and there's about a week-long waiting list. Now, there's some movement on that from within Bergen Regional Medical Center, but I'm wondering, what would you guys do to address what people on the ground are describing as a shortage of detox beds?
default, we would have to address it as we need more beds, right? So that's something that we would, you know, definitely be in favor for and have to push for, and you know, work with the health professionals because they're on the front lines. You know, we're not on the front lines, but that's what our job would be, is to, you know, speak to them, defer to them, and see what is the best course of action. And that's what a good manager does. That's what a good leader does. You know, we get the best minds in the room and we work this out. So, you know, that's imperative, and that's what, you know, I believe should be done.
All right. Hey, guys, last year, or to last time, 2 years ago, this was one of the most competitive districts in the state, has been for a long time, as I mentioned at the top of the program. And it was also one of the more expensive campaigns. Are you anticipating spending a lot of money on this campaign?
I think that me and Anthony are devoted and committed to working as hard as we need to bring a victory home. And obviously that involves money. So we have are committed to an effort jointly to raise as much as we need to in order to get the job done. We are two motivated individuals. We're motivated by the current state of affairs in our state. We're motivated by our families that are going to have to bear the burden of what is currently going on, the poor decisions that are made. We're motivated as business owners that want to continue to grow and thrive in the state of New Jersey. So those motivating factors are guiding our way and making sure that we're going to get whatever we need in order to make sure the job gets done.
If I could follow up on that, you know, not to, you know, look too far into the crystal ball, but District 38 is one of only three competitive districts in this race, and Republicans, you know, hold a minority. It's a very small likelihood that Republicans will take the majority. So if you're elected, and you take office next January, you'd be have to work with a Democratic-controlled legislature. How is that possible?
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I have experience with that right now, because in my town where I'm a sitting councilman, it's majority Democrat, and I'm the minority. And how that works is, when you have a problem, it's a problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's not a Democratic problem. It's a problem. And I'm, you know, where I sit at the River Ridge Mayor and Council, I work very, very well with my partners and fellow council people and the mayor, who are Democrat, and we get things done because I treat them like human beings. They treat me like a human being, and we disagree on some things, but we work it out for the good of all of us, including myself and them. So, you know, I think you have to be the adult, not get caught up in petty ego stuff, which you see often on the national level, state level, and local level. Mm-hmm. But I'm very proud that to say that if you were to ask any of the Democratic Council people about me and who I am, they would, you know, give a very, very good review of Anthony Coppola, and vice versa. And that shows up to my working with just, again, I see them as my colleagues, not, oh, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're independent. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the mindset. I know that's the mindset that Mark and I bring going forward, and that's important.
Yeah, we don't get anywhere by fighting. I mean, things don't get obvious. You look at it now. You know, problems aren't getting resolved. We are both all for reaching across the party line to work with the other side to make sure jobs get done. And we're committed to it. I think that there's no room for petty arguments when it comes down to it. We're all working towards the betterment for our residents of the state of New Jersey. So we need to work with the other side, and we're obviously committed to do that.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, that's about all the time we've got for our program today. I want to thank you for joining us. It's been an interesting conversation. I also want to remind listeners that we'll be doing these programs on candidates in Bergen County throughout the month of September. And this coming Thursday we'll start with all of the freeholder candidates, all eight of them, starting with Tom Sullivan, a Democrat who's running for re-election. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, stay tuned to NorthJersey.com and the Bergen Beat blog and Tomorrow's Record for all your Bergen County news. Till then.